Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Happy weekend, everybody. This is Chris, and I'm extremely pleased to bring you a brand new podcast on the Fade to Gray Network called Open Mic Night. On Open Mic Night, you'll be able to hear some stories and songs from musicians that you might not have otherwise heard of. Today, we're talking with Pearl Earl, an all-female psychedelic punk band from Denton, Texas. You'll get to hear 3 of their songs, as well as some interesting stories that go along with them. So Bailey, the drummer, and Ariel, the guitar player and vocalist, will you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hello.
Hi, I'm Bailey.
I'm Ariel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay, so I've seen you guys twice, right? Both times at Oaktopia.
Okay.
One was at Andy's in Denton.
Yeah.
I think that was a few years ago. And then the last time was at Trees for Oaktopia.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Ariel, me, and Steph started the band, and it was a 3-piece for a while. We added a 4th member who's a male. It didn't work out after 2 tours, 2 years. Went back to being a 3-piece to record our full-length album.
Which is when you saw us at Utopia.
Yeah, which was that time. And then a year and a month ago, we added Chelsea, who was our 4th member. And she's also in multiple other projects, too. And definitely the best fit.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. That's great news. I mean, it's always good to find the person that's a good fit, especially after losing someone that may not have been the best fit, for sure.
But it being a 4-piece is Ariel's, like, sound vision. We really need that 4th layer of keys, extra stuff.
Yeah.
So. I want to talk real quick about Karaoke Superstar. You said it was kind of a joke song, all right? Tell me a little bit more about that. Why is it a joke song?
Because, like, kind of a joke song about a character that she's always at the bar, always at the karaoke bar, and I don't know, I thought it was like a weird funky song that wasn't to be taken seriously, but then it's actually kind of like the underlying theme song of Pearl Earl, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely the one that I remember from that first show at Andy's.
I think, like, part of why it was a joke song is because a lot of Ariel's songs have specific, like, concepts, and that one was more of a throwaway thing, like, it was funny and silly and just about a person rather than about, like, some bigger idea. So, yeah.
But then I don't know, because then it looking back at the lyrics, like, it does kind of have a bigger thing to it. Like, she lives her life at the crossroads. Like, it's, like, about, it's kind of about, like, a contradictory, I don't know how to explain it, but she lost her mind back in Hollywood, and so it references that she was, like, you know, in Hollywood, but now she's, like, wound up in a karaoke bar, and, you know, it's got cigarette burns on her tits. Like, what does that mean? Like, she got stuff.
It's a cautionary tale, Ariel.
Right. So it's not biographical about any specific person. It's just it's a story. You're storytelling. Yeah, that's great. How did you guys develop the sound for that? Was it because, I mean, if I can describe your sound, it's almost like a mix between psychedelic punk. I would even venture to say kind of a surf rock feel at times, too.
Sound definitely is more surf, but the new sound, even like with this new album we're working on, it's completely different.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you guys are working on a new album right now?
Yeah, we just recorded yesterday a little bit. So,
but I think. The first album was like kind of, I'm not going to say amateur, but kind of like the Ariel's kind of first songs. But then the second one was kind of like, okay, what worked? What didn't work? What do I want to get away from? What do I want to move towards? And so it evolved in the second album. And then the third one's evolving even more. And we're hoping the sound will continue to change and evolve. And yeah, like the early stuff, I say it's more amateur because it's like surf rock. It's easy. It's not very complicated. There's not a lot of changes. The songs are shorter. The second album, things are getting more complicated. There's deeper concepts. And then the third one is almost going to be more like a concept album with kind of some overarching musical themes.
Oh, that's cool.
And a lot different varied instrumentation and even like whole areas where like maybe we're gonna have like an 8-minute song, you know?
Oh wow,
like,
wow, so we're okay,
out into space.
There's a part one and a part two of the song, but it's weird because it's not even completely like new. It's new material for the band to perform, but I'm still pulling like one of the songs on there is like probably like 5 years old, like, but it became like now it got birthed, I guess, and I don't know.
Sure.
It's just cool because it really has evolved a lot, like, from the first.
And there's going to be a lot more of the energy of the four of us on this one. Like, one of the songs we're working on now is Full Moon Power, which was inspired by, like, a night that we were all for, like, shooting fireworks, and it was a full moon, and we just started, like, chanting and dancing.
Joined the band, and we have Chelsea, like, another best friend here.
Yeah, Chelsea just joined, and we were like almost kind of celebrating her joining to the band.
It is a full moon. We did some tarot.
We ended up, I think we're all chanting Full Moon Power.
And me and Chelsea was on the bongos, and me and Chelsea started chanting, and then
we all started doing it.
And we were like, that has to be a song. So then I made sure to make a song that had that in there.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a cool story. So I have to ask the name. Where in the world did you come up with the name Pearl Earl?
Well, Earl is like a nickname that I always had. And so whenever this was obviously like my
solo project. Because if you're drunk and you say Ariel, it's like Earl.
Earl. Especially if you're from East Texas, right?
Oh, yeah. We're from Texas. So, yeah, I don't know. Whenever I was first deciding, you know, what to call my thing, I was like, well, people call me Earl sometimes. So, and I like the idea of an androgynous kind of person. And then Pearl, I really just like the way that that rang with it. I think pearls are cool because they have, like, you know, a luster, like kind of a pearlescent rainbow luster to it. So it's kind of visually pleasing to pair with that word.
Sure.
But yeah, really, I think it's just like a character too. Like,
it's not like any deep meaning really other than that.
It's simple.
But this could make it a deep meaning if you wanted to and say like that Earl is a person that came out of a clam, like a gem or an oyster. Sorry.
You could say that. You could do that. I actually think it's really fitting for the band, though, because I don't think you take yourselves too seriously. Like, with your music, it's fun. It's upbeat. It's lighthearted, or at least it seems that way from the sound of the music. You mentioned earlier about having a lot of lyrical themes, especially on the newer stuff that you're doing. So I guess we can kind of transition to talking about your full length. One of the standout tracks on that is Meet Your Maker. Tell me about how you wrote that and maybe the story behind that.
So I wrote that on, like, I came up with a bass line, the main bass line, and then I knew that I wanted the main riff, that I want to meet your maker. Like, that's what I had for it. But I didn't really know what the lyrical content was going to be until we were actually in the studio, and I decided that I wanted it to be, it's political, and it's kind of about the state of, you know, humans, and it's written from an alien's perspective onto, you know, the Earth, and kind of how, like, why are we the way we are, and how things are, you know, messed up. There's a lot of underlying things. Donald Trump is a reference in there.
I would have never known that it was from an alien's perspective. I think that's a really cool idea. I think it's, you know, interesting that you're writing lyrics from the perspective of other people. And I think it definitely pays off, because whenever you're talking about, I want to meet your maker, like, it can mean something to me different than what maybe it means to somebody else. So I think your lyrics are accessible to multiple different, I guess, views. Even if you didn't necessarily intend it to be that way. That's really cool that you can do that with your lyrics and that you can be fun with it.
Well, yeah. But like, I think a lot of the songs are meant to be like that, like Double Entendres, like Take a Shot is on that album. And it's meant to be like, take a shot with me, like, let's try this out, like, take a shot and see what happens. But it turned into, every time we play that song, people put four shots on the stage, you know? Most people took it quite literally, you know. So, like, I think a lot of them, that's what's so fun about them, because they're just vague enough to where they could be taken multiple directions.
I try to write ambiguously and not so personal, and that's why whenever there is a personal song, it's way harder for me to, like, put it out there, because it's like, that's how I feel.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone can, yeah.
Like one of the songs on the new album, she was really kind of afraid to put on there almost, because it
was,
you didn't want to put I Know
on
there, because it was so personal, and the last song on the album, so, but yeah, like, it turned out being one that people were like, that's one of my favorite songs, you know, so, I think it's good to put it out there sometimes, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Chance of being vulnerable.
I'm
So it's a self-titled album that you guys put out after your EP. And how quickly did you guys do that after you recorded that first EP?
We recorded that EP. Well, we released that EP in May. So I think it was about February or March when we like recorded it. And then to get it out there, we released it on my birthday, May 1st. And then we recorded the full length in August of the following year.
So what would you say would be the track that you liked the most off of that full length? What are some of the songs that are standout songs to you on that? It's almost like, I know they're all your babies and you can't pick your favorite one, but like, what?
Now some of them are not our babies anymore.
I hate some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now you hate some of them. All right.
I really like Meet Your Maker, actually, and that's why we put it first.
Same, that's my favorite.
I love that song.
Yeah,
and I
do too.
It kind of is the anthem of that album. Star in the Sky is my second favorite song.
Same.
And that's the first song on this B-side, which is why we put it there, because we listen to a lot of vinyl. Like, when you flip the record, it's like, we're going to a new place.
Owen.
And so I love that one for that. But also, I really love Captain Howdy, which
same.
Is also...
We have all the same ones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what was the second one that you mentioned that was your second favorite?
Star in the Sky. It's number 6.
Tell me a little bit about that song.
So that one actually, I remember I made on a loop station the beginning of it, the kind of very like proggy, like kind of dark part. And Bailey had actually, I wanted to show her this other song that I was working on.
Oh yeah.
And I that flipped on really quick on my loop station, and she was like, ooh, what is that?
Yeah. Like, I'm not ready to show you that yet. And I'm like, wait, screw this song. I want to play that song.
Yeah.
And so she would go into her room and bunker down and write a bunch of stuff with her headphones on, and then she'd bring me in there and be like, listen to this, you know? But that other one accidentally came on, and I was like, oh my God, what is that sound? It was kind of like, at first it was like, what, is that an accident? And then I was like, oh, that's got a rhythm to it. And it was just so weird and intriguing.
I didn't have the ending ready for that, and then I just knew that I wanted the intro to be that weird thing that we totally jammed on and then created, you know, this like introduction to the actual song. I mean, you could cut that intro off and then not and still have the song essentially, but we wanted this kind of weird space thing happening.
That intro is really, really neat, and I'm glad that you guys recorded it with that intro on there for sure.
We were trying to like think of songs what they needed and not try to make songs that worked for the radio, and that one doesn't really work for the radio.
No,
it has to be edited to be played, but we were like, no, it needs this, you know? Like,
we wanted that one to be heard too, and we released that secondly, so.
Yeah.
I don't think it got any, it couldn't be played on the radio, but, you know, we didn't care because that was like our second number one baby that we liked.
And like people in the 60s and the 70s, they didn't give a shit about that. They had 14 minute songs, you know?
If people want to listen to you, what's your preferred place for them to go to listen?
Probably Spotify or buy a vinyl.
Well, of course. Yeah, you'd much rather than buy the vinyl.
We're on Spotify, iTunes. We have a Bandcamp. We have a SoundCloud. You can just Google us and find us on YouTube.
Sure.
So whatever. Check out the music videos, you know, if people want to go see what those look like. And we were talking about Captain Howdy. We do have a music video coming out for that song.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so do you guys have a website?
Yeah. We do. PearlEarl.com.
Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking about the band and the history and kind of giving me a better perspective of your lyrics and everything. I'm super excited to have spoken with you guys. I like the band even more now. I'm very excited to go back and listen to it. Thanks so much for taking the time out to do it.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for wanting to do this.
All right, Fade to Gray family, you heard it here. Go out and support Pearl Earl. Listen to them on Spotify. If you really like it, go buy their vinyl. And make sure to keep tuning in to the Fade to Gray Network. Go leave us a review on iTunes, like us on social media, and join our Patreon to be a part of our Marco Polo group, where you can join the discussion. We'll see you next time on the Fade to Gray podcast.